Good afternoon. So this morning we looked at two key points. Firstly, that our obstacles that we have to accumulating virtue were identified as drowsiness, mental dullness, and laziness. But even in a more expansive way, the antidote to overcome our inner obstacles to the accumulation of virtue or the accumulation of wholesome minds is to cultivate joyous perseverance, an attitude, a mind that delights in virtue. And then secondly, we spoke about how so many obstacles and problems that we experience come about through our senses, the five physical and the one mental sense. To prevent our mind going in a non-virtuous direction and to keep our mind virtuous, we need to rely on the three mental factors or consciousnesses of conscientiousness, introspection, and mindfulness. And it's through relying on these three that we can keep our mind virtuous and ensure that it doesn't become overwhelmed by afflictions. Then turning back to the text, again and again, three times, both day and night, examine the flow of your thoughts.
Ngā yu kua nē kī shē tēnē cīng nyēn bō yā bō shē yā tāng, lū kī nukua nē nāmbi yu dōng kī nāmbi yu tēnē jī kēmā sū sō shē, kēmā nāmbi yu yā bō tuyā. Ndī tēnē yu dē nē pāshē mīdī yā sēm lē ngā lā lā kē yā tāng. 안지게 디겐지 안 소소레나 미디게 어디 야고 지구선 툴레 넘겨 야고 돼야 돼 계시 야고 셔야 돼 소소레 돼야 돼 발레서네 근데 소소에 기부 용고 그래서 가서 새 디게 삼 따베네 아도 용고 레제레
The primary purpose of training our mind in the Buddha Dharma is the primary practice of the Buddha Dharma is to train our mind to change our way of thinking, to turn our way of thinking from non-virtue to virtue, and to abide with virtue. So if we think of what happens when a non-virtuous mind arises, for example, one of harmful intent, where we have the wish for harm to come to someone else, immediately with the arisal of that mind, our own mental peace is lost, our own mind is in a state of unhappiness. And to the extent that we express this way that we are feeling, we will bring unhappiness to others. Even if we are trying to control ourselves, but our facial expression portrays how we feel inside, merely that will bring unhappiness to others, let alone what will happen if we express verbally how we feel. We'll speak harshly to others, unkindly to others, and we may even engage in physical conflict with others. And this all starts from our way of thinking being non-virtuous. The results then of non-virtuous minds arising within us or unwholesome minds arising within us is that we are unhappy. Moreover, to the extent that we express this unhappiness to others, to the extent that we express the afflictions that are dominating our mind to others, unhappiness will come to them as well. Moreover, when others then become unhappy in dependence on how we are treating them, we know from our own experience they are likely to respond in kind to us, just making the situation worse, compounding our own unhappiness. So therefore, if our mind is non-virtuous or unwholesome, not only will we be unhappy, but we'll spread that unhappiness to others, harming others too. But the contrary is also true. We know from our own experience, when our mind is virtuous, we are happy. Our mind is at ease and at peace. And then when we express ourselves to others, we do so in a way that adds to harmony and that eases their difficulties that others may be experiencing. For example, when our mind is happy and at peace, our facial expression is one of being at ease. The way we speak to others will be gentle, as will our behavior. Moreover, when we are in a good place, when our mind is happy, we'll readily help others. We'll be of benefit to others where we can, utilize our skills to help others. And we'll do so with a joyous mind, not with a sense of obligation. So therefore, someone who's trained their mind well, and their mind tends to be virtuous or wholesome, they will have been known in their social circle as a beneficial member of that group, someone that people want to be around, will seek out. Someone, though, whose mind readily goes towards non-virtue or is inclined to being unwholesome, in their social circle, people will know to be careful when around them. So this all comes from a way of thinking. And therefore, the primary objective in the Buddha Dharma is to transform our minds, transform our way of thinking.
Nangu samlu ya shen le penbe samba de jenbe samlu dinshiyo bayi na ndigi kienje lungu jyoba di shen le penpa chigun go re. 那今年上两个月吧，下了六百元的，那个俺这里，我是能什么了，哪里多啊？就是，就是能，别那个东西拿过来，弄那个旧物，就对的。那什么拿来呀？把些了马瓜瓦，那今年什么节算呢？农地拿过对啊，那几株对啊，采购了吧？农民那么就差的。 其实什么生活的把分别什么讲解什么来的，都给当当天就是干啷啷的，心心那也个通过了吧？其实另外个就把药都来的，能什么来，工农药都来里头去过了。其实什么些的，不嘛是什么药大的？其实工农药过去不药过水果，那个就农路什么，俺把现在六百三百的买不少，能什，俺现在分别什么的，俺就地上的药都必须当过了，是不是？ 人生工作养大养，就人生就是养大养，人，生就去了，大伙儿家，谁对？就是你没工人拿着，其他工人拿着，所需的什么拿了呀？什么肯定是苦度，什么现在六百三八的，什么度假就苦度，什么也个是苦度，什么当，什么多少着六百三八的，根据这些的，你那个什么是苦的呢？怕什么的怕干活的，怕干什么当？对呢？现在分别三八的，讲这个什么了的？
第二个，你养活些个什么口味呢？你按这个养活的，实际上什么药都你的，还把去采纳工人那，你没工人那，养呢养都什么当，可这个用都，这些学个些把，真把它细心一点，都是那真细心一点，把什么当些，那养个的用不呢？我做伢，什么也必须当的把伢，对，如果穷鬼呢，我得第一回要买的是把什么的芥末球鞋，我都是那干活的时候。
Thinking about what I've just presented then, and relating that to our own lived experience, we recognize that when we are unhappy, we take this out on others, we bring unhappiness into their lives. Or, on the other hand, when we are in a good place, in a good mental space, and we express that to others, we help bring happiness to their lives. Or if they are in having a bad time themselves, at the very least we will not add to it, but we may help ease their own difficulties that they are experiencing at the time. So that's the impact it has on others and on ourselves. Of course, if our mind is in a happy place, if it's virtuous, our mind is at ease and at peace, and we are joyous, and thereby we have the mental space to fulfill our capacity to be of benefit to others. So the key point to make here is that the way we physically interact with others and the way that we verbally speak to others, our communication, is dependent on our mental state. If our mental state is untroubled, undisturbed, at ease, this will be evident in the way we interact with others. And conversely, if you are agitated, frustrated, tense and uptight, this will be evident in how we communicate and interact with others too. So this points to the great importance of taking care of our own minds. So here we look at in particular the mental state that we'd call our motivation, our intention, and to ensure that at all times it's virtuous and wholesome. Our intention or our motivation in the sense of our motivation that leads to how we interact with others, how we speak to and physically interact with others. This intention to ensure at all times we keep it virtuous and wholesome. And this then leads us to these two lines. Again and again, three times both day and night, examine the flow of your thoughts. So here, with these mental factors, these consciousnesses that we mentioned earlier, use mindfulness, introspection, and conscientiousness to at all times, throughout the day and night, to be aware of your mental process, your mental flow, your flow of thoughts, and ensure that it's in the direction of virtue. And should you notice, and when you notice it's in the direction of non-virtue, to bring it back to virtue. If you notice, for example, that you're mentally complaining about someone or an event, rather turn your mind to virtue. Turn your way away from complaining about others and rather generate thoughts of love and kindness towards others. keep your mind virtuous, and thereby your interactions with others will be virtuous too. A foundational teaching from Buddha Shakyamuni was that of karma, of cause and effect. Results come about independent on causes. For example, our physical behavior, our verbal communication, these are results. They came from causes. The causes are our way of thinking. So independent on our way of thinking, we will act in a way that's virtuous, a way that's wholesome, or a way that's unwholesome. To the extent that we recognize this, we'll know that we have to take care of our mind. We have to take care of our mind. To spiritually develop, we need to take care of our own minds. To fulfill our capacity as human beings, we need to take care of our mind. So all that we, how we interact with others, as well as all that we experience, is filtered through our mental experience. If we're going to interact with others in a way that's beneficial and wholesome, or a way that adds to conflict and is unwholesome, this will come about in dependence on our way of thinking. Likewise, when others engage with us, whether others as in people or as in situations, the way we experience them is dependent on our way of thinking. If our way of thinking is naturally inclined to non-virtual or wholesome, unwholesome way of thinking, in other words, an afflicted way of thinking, we will take certain situations, we'll easily take them in a harmful manner, in a manner that leads us to getting upset and agitated. If our way of thinking, if our personality is quite different, that same situation we can take in a very different way. Our mind can stay undisturbed. We won't experience it as harmful. So therefore, even when we are in situations that some would find trying or challenging, if one's mind is developed and one keeps one's mind virtuous and wholesome, those situations will not lead to one becoming agitated, disturbed, or upset. And rather, with a mind that's calm and relaxed and spacious, one can be of benefit in such circumstances. So therefore, through training, how we experience the world, how we deal with situations, this is within our own hands. We have the responsibility to take care of our minds. We also have the capacity to do so.
Today, ကြည့်ဒီပဲကြည့်ပါစွတ်ဒီကဘာတွင်ချင်ငါတို့စွတ်ကြလေတူကြည့်တယ်ခွေနံပြူတနေ့စင်ငါတို့စွတ်ကြလေကိုရပါတယ်တဲ့တူသမ္တာပဲနဲ့တင်းဒီကနံပြူစွတ်ကြရောဒီခရရောရစနခွေသမ္မနာလျာငါတို့မာကဘီကနံပါချခွေလျာခွန်ရငါတို့ခွန်ရစာတိကကြည့်ရောသမ္မဒီရောပါတယ်ဒါဒီသမ္မဒီကကြည့်ရင်ကျွန်တော်ခွေကနိ ที่เดียวงานจุดเป็นงานสุดยอดเลยคนละงานจะคนละเนี่ยต้องตั้งใจจิตใจไปนะเนี่ยก็ติดลูกคนลำซ่ายังจิตชีวิตทบไปเนี่ยตั้งไปลูกคนเดือดมาจำยังกี่คนเยอะเลยยินะเจริญยังจะคนที่ชีวิตคนแบบคนแบบสุดทุ่มมาเลยยังนั่งงานจุดพาชีวิตคนละเสียกันยังไงอยู่เลยโอ้ดีตั้งงานจุดดีกันสังงานจุดสมนาเลยคนละเนี่ยเป็นสัมปะโอ้คนงานจะสุดยอดเลยดูคนที่จะสัมปะคนละยังจิตเลวจริง ညတို့တန်ရင်စပ်ဆမ်လို့ကုလုံးငံပဲရှိလေပါန်စာငါသူလူငါလူကြီးကျွဲပဲဒီခေါ်လေညတို့တန်ခေါ်ဒီကြီးခေါ်ဖတ်ဆိုတော့ခေါ်လို့ချေရှုပ်ချေတော့မှာတော့ငါသူကြီးခေါ်မခေါ်မြတ်ပါဆွေထူအောင်မှာတန်ငါသူကြီးခွေနံပြူမြတ်ပါဆွေခွေကြီးခေါ်တော့မြတ်ပါဆွေခေါ်လေဒီမြတ်ပါကတဲ့ဆွေခေါ်လေလပ်နဲ့တန်ငါသူကြီးရဒီနေ့လေးတွေခေါ်လေဂျမ်းပါဆမ်တဲ့အင်းကျဲစံပြေဂျမ်းကျဲဆမ်ခေါ်ခ Yeah, Jesus Magai with some of the canis mevas was in Delhi, a jamji, some tab and a jamji, Pajuga Magai with some but the mevas to water. Jesus Jamji, some denig Magai, so to a get some of the so drop the Tempush Chagor. Negap to Nazube, one huge Nanja colleges, Jitu Gurte, Tempu Amare, Negap Delegate, Madame Sanja, Cocobu, Koyan Junjiwa, Aburua. Jesus Denis and the Chile Nadinere, me Nadagare, so so midi, so so la Magai change you ben. Pale Magawa Cheven, Dudu Dramod, and you get Chambuchayo Mare. Tanjik, so Wangji Beji, Taji, Negap Colia, Jik Goma, Nim Tuine, Mazu Wangji Meva Chayata, Soso Colia, Goya Yaburadi, Mazu Niki Yungre, Jesna, Drobo, Timbuchato Yamare. Jesna Denis and Hansipa, Jambuche, Jamze, Jacombu Cheven, and Persuadi, Conre Shi, Soso Magawa Samba, Fa Shi, and Soso Gawucha, T, Gawucha. Timbu to go to Kadine, Roman, where all that midi yakoye, some midi she saw one other midi yakoye, and I draw shoe in such a man's summon like a bully war. She's not denying some of the jam jamzig, some piety, that rushing nigger pamper, near up till a pamper. Then you give you some died, jamzig, some woman, Sanjo want to buy a tiny air to work, and you send by China as a tiny air to work. You watch Malhada and you want to be used to work. She's not denying that. She's not. Go,
take another situation that one may well have experience of. If you think of perhaps on a route that one has to walk, there's a dog that's very aggressive. And each time you have to walk past that home, the dog comes out charging to the fence with great aggression. And from one side, one's a bit relieved to be on the other side of the fence, because you know if you were in their territory, you would be in danger. So it's very clear that dog wants to bite us. So here we have a choice in how we can respond. Probably what will happen with us is immediately fear will arise within us. And naturally when fear arises within us, we may respond in an aggressive manner. And if we were to do so, from the dog side, there are one or two responses. Their aggression may grow, or they may cower down, becoming fearful. But what's certain is that when we come that way again, That dog would not look at us with a friendly attitude, but would almost certainly be aggressive towards us again. And in fact, should we respond in an aggressive manner to that dog? There's actually no difference between us and that dog in that we are acting in an aggressive manner, as is the dog. Why? Our mind is aggressive, as is the dog's. So trying to be more spiritually evolved than the dog, we should take care of our mind, utilizing introspection, mindfulness, conscientiousness, be aware that an appropriate response is not an afflicted one of anger, but rather generate loving kindness towards the dog. And this can be done not because one appreciates the way it's attacking us, but recognizing that being before us now is suffering. And the reason we know they're suffering is because their behavior is aggressive, which means the motivating mind is aggressive. And we know from ourselves, when our mind is angry or aggressive, we are not at peace. We are not happy. We are suffering. So therefore, we can impute that the dog is suffering too. Realizing the dog is suffering, loving kindness, compassion for the dog will arise within us. And then, especially if we know we have to walk this route frequently, the next time we can prepare. We can bring some treats with us. When the dog charges at us aggressively, we can throw some treats to it. And after doing this a couple of times, we know what will happen. The dog's attitude will change. They'll no longer see us as a threat, but as a friend. They'll approach us with their tail wagging and with expectation on having a treat thrown towards them. So what we see here in this illustration is that through utilizing these mental factors of conscientiousness, introspection, and mindfulness, we can take responsibility for our own way of thinking. And even in a situation where perhaps our natural response would be either fear or aggression, we take control of our mind, respond in a skillful way, understanding that this being is suffering, and respond in an appropriate manner. And in this way, our mind stays at ease and peaceful and happy, and we also have a beneficial impact on the other being. And over time, what would have been a nasty, aggressive relationship will transform into a friendship. And this is an illustration that we can easily understand and apply elsewhere. And this illustration is entirely in accordance with what's taught here, which is what Lama Tisha has taught and before Buddha Shakyamuni taught. And this was taught from their own experience too. So based on knowledge, reflecting on that knowledge, and then engaging in activity based on that knowledge, experience is gained. And this is how the being that became Buddha Shakyamuni spiritually progressed, as did Lama Atisha. And these are techniques that are within our grasp, that are within our ability to utilize, to transform our own way of thinking. The way we can utilize what's presented here in the third line, three times both day and night, is that we need to take care of our mind at all times. So from the outset of the day, right in the first moment we wake up, we're still in bed, we're trying to gather our thoughts, immediately set the intention. Whomever I meet today, I won't harm them. In fact, I would rather ensure that I have a loving and compassionate attitude towards them, and where I can be of benefit, I will be so. So set this as an intention right at the outset of the day. And during the day, we can remind ourselves. And as we progress through the day, and certainly at the end, in the evening, when we recall the day's events, look back and see where we did interact with others in a loving and compassionate way, and where we look back when we interacted with others in a way that was not so loving and compassionate. And again, establish our intention. From tomorrow or later on over the course of the day, I will ensure that I will only relate to others in a loving and compassionate way. I will not interact with others in a harmful or aggressive manner at all. Just cultivate this intention first thing in the morning, remind ourselves of it throughout the day, and certainly recall the day's events in the evening, strengthening this way of thinking evermore. Then the next two lines, reveal your own shortcomings, but do not seek out others' errors. Looking at the first line, reveal your own shortcomings. This line is about being honest with yourself and how you interact with others. So if others point out an error error that you have done, or correct you in some way, if what they've said is correct, don't refuse and say no, you've misunderstood. Accept one's faults. Apologize for errors that one has made. So in other words, if you're accused of something and that is correct, you have done made that fault, put your hands up and apologize. And together with that apology, make the commitment to try and change oneself, to try and alter this perhaps habit pattern that one has that is harmful. And in this way, our spiritual development is aided. On the other hand, if one rather has the habit to hide one's errors, to not acknowledge faults and to try and deflect errors that one has made, this impedes spiritual growth because you're trying to present yourself in a way that's not in accordance with reality. So here we encourage to apologize when faults are made, and in particular, to utilize this as an opportunity to commit to transforming ourselves ever further. And this helps us to reduce our bad habits.
是啊，但农村一般的农村一般好过吧，吃苦的是农村嘛好过，你那毛把那地农村的马血也端到来，所以说给啥子不吃苦的是我说的，你还你这些，这这上这些些完那些啊，都工农了呀，年把前年那边三百几年呢，你来今年呢，今年的地方，今年一卷的多啊，你现在那边三百块钱的，你年把的卷的下，实际上你给得了今年，俺女儿给这把农村年把田的年把的下了女的多的年把的下。
So what this points to is that if we don't recognize our own faults, how can we change? And if someone points out our faults, we may be aware of it, we may not. We may not be aware of how obvious it is to others rather than ourselves. So therefore, if a fault is pointed out to us and it's valid, we should recognize this, apologize, and with that comes an obligation to change. Because we want to spiritually develop, we want to overcome our faults, we want to transform into the person that we have the ability to be. And when reflecting back on our own behavior, and where we recognize faults, we should recognize these faults, make the commitment then secondly, not to repeat them as best we can, and then let it go. Not hold on to things that have been done, things that we have done, or things that we have said. Recognize the fault, commit to changing in the future, and let it go. What's done is done. The future lies before us, and now, through taking care and control of our own mind, in the future, we can limit repeating past harmful behavior.
先有出我在米家是对，先有农村的米现在有卷的去怕这些的怕，就搞得都好卷，搞得都有这些怕卷的那些卷多啊，真的是先有卷家家怕这些，那现在啊卷就家家真，我的农村现在卷起的那些都是别个那些个嘛那些活的，其实他你这里啊，让国王忙到了去活，这里啊先去卷怕这些通的通呢，这里啊判断的便宜。
卷的去判断的便宜，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的，卷的去判断的， but do not seek out others' errors. So here, we should guard against our mind going in the direction of being dominated by the faults that we perceive in others, especially where we ruminate about this a lot, about the faults of a particular person, that they're always like this or they're doing that, etc. We should guard against that. Moreover, though, there are times when it is beneficial to directly point out a fault that someone else has done or perhaps repeatedly does. However, here we need to use our wisdom. If this person is open to constructive advice from us, then we should share it with them, especially if it's, say, someone you have responsibility for, such as young children, or if it's someone that you are close to, such as particular family members or friends. Then it's good to, in an appropriate manner to point out a fault that is made. But going alongside this, where a person won't be open or receptive to what one has to say, stay silent. Don't say anything. Even though one is well intentioned, because your intent will not be achieved, stay silent. And not only stay silent, ensure mentally you are not ruminating about the faults in others, thinking about it again and again. In the situation of a parent and a child, a parent is required to guide their child in terms of what is an appropriate way to act in various circumstances, what is an appropriate way to speak in various circumstances. So a parent has this responsibility because a child just does not know. So here, a parent generally will be guided by wanting the very best for their child, and therefore will seek to correct behavior as well as praise behavior where appropriate. And what's important here is the motivation of the parent. When the especially in the circumstance of correcting behavior, the parent needs to do so with an attitude of loving kindness. And if the motivation of the parent is one of loving kindness, in the sense that the attitude that is manifest is one of loving kindness, the child is likely to pick up on this, and therefore is much more likely to be receptive to the guidance from their parents. And with the parent having a mind dominated by love and kindness, they will speak to the child in a skillful manner, in a gentle manner, and pointing out the benefits of a particular type of behavior and the faults of a contrary type of behavior. And the child then is much more likely to be receptive to what is said. Then in other circumstances, in society, for example, it's something that one is observing at a distance, such as through the news, or more explicitly or more directly, here, where one sees behavior or speech that is inappropriate, one's first responsibility is to take care of one's own mind, to make sure that afflictions aren't dominating one's own mind, that one oneself is not getting angry, not wanting to respond in a harmful manner, not looking down on the other person, wanting hardship to come to the other person as retribution for what they are doing or have done. That's one's first responsibility. And there, where one has a possibility to directly speak to the person, and where they'd be receptive to one, or where one has a level of responsibility, then one should interact with them, but not with a motivation that is harsh, but with a wish to be of benefit to them. So here, the responsibility again is to ensure that one's mind is not afflicted. And where the situation is where the person is acting in a harmful manner, but one has no interaction with them, so you something you observe, say, in the news, then take care of your mind. One may quite rightly say their behavior is wrong and is inappropriate, but don't guard your mind against being afflicted, wanting harm to come to them, looking down on them, wanting punishment and pain and suffering to be experienced by them. Rather, understand that they are deluded, and therefore they are acting in a harmful way, and moreover, they are creating the causes that will lead to their further suffering in the future. So here, one is still rightly recognizing that their behavior is inappropriate and should not be accepted, but one's mind, though, is not harsh and aggressive, but rather calm, spacious, and loving towards the person. Then the next two lines, conceal your own good qualities, but proclaim those of others. Conceal your own good qualities. The meaning of this line is that one should take great care against the arisal of pride. Because it's very easy if we see that we have if we believe we have a particular quality, that pride can arise, and that pride will exaggerate the extent of this good quality that we perceive in ourselves, and from that many faults follow. For example, we'll look down on others, we'll criticize others, we'll see them as lesser than they are. And this is harmful to ourselves and certainly to our relationships with others. And moreover, Should one become prone to pride, there is a great likelihood that one will pretend to be skilled in areas that one is not, or pretend to be more skilled than one actually is. This is again in the direction of dishonesty, so we need to guard against this. However, one shouldn't go to an extreme, because just reading literally this line, conceal your own good qualities, does not mean one should hide in all circumstances one's qualities. Always utilize your wisdom. If there's something you know, and the expression of the skill of yours is beneficial, then do so. So if one has particular quality or knowledge, and sharing it with someone will be of benefit to them, do so. But within the context of using one's wisdom, be aware of one's relationship with that person. Will they be open and receptive to what one has to say? And if so, share one's knowledge. Help them. If not, then no need. There's no point, in fact. So then, don't do so. So that's the second meaning here, is that it doesn't mean hide all good qualities. Use your good qualities, show your good qualities, share your good qualities when you can be of benefit and the other person is receptive. And if one is using these criteria, is the other person receptive, is it beneficial, this will help prevent one from showing off. And because showing off again goes in the direction of pride. And here, the other meaning, the first one that was mentioned of this line, is to be aware of pride. It's an affliction that presents grave danger. We need to be honest with ourselves and act in accordance with reality, or view ourselves in accordance with reality. The way I've just described that this line then is in a general sense, but the particular sense here would be that relating to our good qualities in terms of the Dharma, both knowledge as well as our experience based on that knowledge. So here, we need to take great care to exaggerate our knowledge and our experience of that knowledge, and thereby maybe show off or look down on others in this regard. So, for example, talking about one's experience of a particular type of meditation or knowledge of a particular topic within the Dharma. Here, we need to take care. It is certainly good to share our knowledge and share our experience with others, but we need to take care. Take care that we are showing off. Take care if we are looking down on others. Take care if we are exaggerating our own good qualities. We need to take into account the time, the place, the individual before us. We may well have particular knowledge or a particular experience based on that knowledge, and it may be useful for that person, but we need to take into account whether now is the appropriate time, is the appropriate place, is this an appropriate person? Are they going to be receptive and so forth? And then we can share it or perhaps not.
Yamlin gom dene chagduwa, dene chik tueba dene chigwore, ane gom dene chagwore, koronzulio tokwa yendengi, pemaas yagwore da sanpegi, jesu yirana jaya da, kunzu yenden samd, gewi jor nyamlin jebi yenden dike samd naja, jesu yirana jaya, ane duyanga, ane desu ya koronzulio dene giyende, pe yagwore esme duyanga ba jaya da, ane jike, ondo 랑리야 지게 셰나 판도 유겐지라 안 오두수치네 유엔데데네 데네 요 콘조 냠렌데네 나와레 먼저 냠렌데네 시고에서 콘조기 냠렌데 기 콘조마 두시 데네 셰나는 알아서 있네 디시고에서 개의 꾸마셔야 돼 유엔데 잡아 잡아서 디수모레
Conceal your own good qualities, but proclaim those of others. As it states here, talk about the good qualities of others. And again, the context is primarily relating to the Dharma, but we can also understand it in a general sense. But where others have particular good qualities, such as they may be a kind person or a loving person, or have good knowledge of a particular topic of the Dharma, then to others we should talk about this, praise their good qualities. And to ourselves, we should rejoice in their good qualities. Rejoice that this person has over years or over lifetimes developed these good qualities within themselves. Then also in terms of the great beings of the past, such as Buddha Shakyamuni, Lama Atisha, and the pandits, the 17 pandits of Nalanda, we can reflect on their unsurpassable qualities. Rejoice in all that they have achieved for the sake of others, and thereby generate a determination to ourselves strive to become beings of great benefit in the world just like they are. So in brief, in this line means that we should look for the qualities in others, and we should rejoice in their good qualities, praise the good qualities of others, and moreover, where we see good qualities in others, not only rejoice and praise, but we should set the determination, that aspect that this individual has developed so well, I commit to strive to develop that same aspect, that same good quality within myself.
And Hando,
so the advice that's given here, we can certainly, we can certainly apply in many such situations. So we all gather together here for meditation retreat. I'm sure many of you have done several before. But what would certainly not be the desired outcome would be if one were to feel a sense of pride about all one's past achievements and the many retreats one has done, or to leave here and brag to others about what we did over the Easter break. That would be really strange to show off about engaging in what is supposed to be a period of spiritual development. It would be really strange if the outcome of an event such as this is to look down on others. So after this retreat, if you want to share if it's beneficial to share one's experiences here with others, then it's good to do so. What's often though far better is to praise what others achieved. Like the people that you're interacting with, to praise their good qualities rather than one's own, unless there's a specific purpose that it appears to be beneficial. Guard against looking down on others. Guard against seeing oneself as better than others. Rather focus on rejoicing in the good qualities of others. And certainly here, and then moreover, in one's own meditation practice, recall the qualities of all the holy beings that have lived in the world and those who are living in the world now, from Buddha Shakyamuni right up to one's present Lama. Rejoice in all their good qualities that they have cultivated over so many lifetimes for the benefit of others, and use that virtuous mind of rejoicing in their qualities to commit to striving to practice just like they have done. And then similarly, with ordinary people around you, whether each other here in our retreat, those and your social group or your place of work, all have good qualities. Remind yourself of their qualities and commit to striving to develop those same good qualities within yourself too. Recognize others for their good qualities. Rejoice in them and commit to cultivating them within yourself. And in this way, keeping the mind virtuous, regenerating an enthusiasm within ourselves, an enthusiasm for spiritual development, a recognition that all beings around us have many good qualities. And this then makes it so much less likely we'll look down on others, see, and concentrate on the faults of others, but rather see the good qualities that others do have. Forsake gain and respect. At all times, relinquish your own renown. Here we need to, again, using the mental factors mentioned earlier, be aware of our mind, guard our motivation, especially engaging in virtuous activities like we are here. Guard our motivation from gaining something from others or receiving respect from others. We need to guard ourselves against this because we have an inclination to want to be praised and thought of well, spoken about well. So certainly, in particular, when engaging in our spiritual development, we must ensure that as to the extent that we can, we keep our motivation pure of wanting to gain material benefit from others or to be respected or praised by others. If one engages in any kind of spiritual endeavor, such as entering retreat, with the hope to gain something from others, whether it's financial gain or to respect or reputation, if one engages in spiritual activities with that, how is it possible that one's spiritual endeavors will lead to liberation and enlightenment when one's mind is less on overcoming the fetters to samsara and more on gaining respect from others? In fact, one's spiritual endeavors will be no different from business. Rather, we need to take care of our mind, because if our motivation is so flawed, our spiritual endeavors will come to nothing. We will not spiritually develop, no matter how many retreats we engage in and how many retreats and so forth we engage in. And secondly, not only will we not spiritually develop, but when or those whom do not show us the respect that we believe we are entitled to, we will get angry at them. We will look down on them. Our mind will just get ever more afflicted. So we need to take care of our mind, be aware of our motivation. The appropriate motivation is to be striving to achieve a good rebirth in our future lives, a rebirth as a human or as a god, and certainly to be striving to achieve the final goals of liberation and enlightenment. That is the appropriate motivation, not to have any hope to receive something from others or to gain respect or praise from others.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཁྱི ཕྱི
Rather, one should engage in virtuous activities such as receiving teachings, meditating on those teachings with a motivation of receiving, attaining a good rebirth in future lives so that one can continue one's spiritual development, and certainly a motivation of eventually achieving liberation from samsara and full and complete enlightenment. That should be the motivation for all of us sitting here, as well as for when we engage in all our endeavors. If one is thinking about getting something material from the world, or something transitory in the world, such as a material gift, or reputation, or praise, this is contrary to our spiritual goals, and actually will our spiritual endeavors, or our so-called spiritual endeavors, will just bind us further to samsara. And they will bind us further to samsara because of what we're looking to achieve, which is just praise and reputation and so forth. And moreover, when we do not receive that, we'll get angry, we'll be disappointed at others, look down on others, get angry at them. And that too binds us further to samsara. In fact, engaging in spiritual activities such as going into retreat with such a motivation, not only does this prevent the desired outcome of liberation and enlightenment, this being achieved or one progressing towards that, but so many obstacles are created from such a tainted motivation, obstacles and problems within oneself. Rather, one should cultivate a sincere motivation that through my endeavors here, that creates the virtue that will lead to a good rebirth so as I can continue my spiritual development and eventually attain liberation and enlightenment so that I can be of great benefit to others. And if one has such a good motivation, one will receive praise and recognition from others, but whether one does or doesn't actually will be of no importance to one at all. And the same sentiment is expressed in the second line. At all times, relinquish your own renown. So here, we need to guard ourselves from seeking fame or prestige, wanting a good reputation, wanting to be thought well of by others. We need to guard against this, because this is very harmful. It to the extent that we have such a tainted motivation, our spiritual development will be gravely impeded. And in fact, it can lead us to not only have our spiritual development impeded, but we can create far stronger, or we can create strong negativities too. Because wanting a great reputation, wanting to be held in a prestigious, be seen as someone of great renown, we may well lie to others about our qualities. We may exaggerate about what we have achieved. And there's many harms, there's a lot of harm that comes from this, not only in terms of our spiritual development and our store of negativity, but where we could have been of benefit to someone, should we have been a sincere person. Instead of being of benefit in those circumstances, we may end up being of harm. Moreover, having such a tainted outlook, we may well turn away from others, not wanting to have anything to do with certain people, because we don't feel they are giving us the recognition and the praise that we believe we are entitled to. And moreover, we may end up turning away from progressing, from engaging in our spiritual development, because this need for recognition is not being fulfilled. So we need to guard our motivation and ensure our motivation is one of having a sincere wish to achieve liberation and enlightenment in order to be of greatest benefit to others. Have modest desires, be easily satisfied, and reciprocate kindness. Have modest desires, be easily satisfied. This is of great importance for a spiritual practitioner. Someone who is sincere about progressing spiritually, about developing themselves spiritually, should have modest desires and be easily satisfied. Because to the extent that one is not, one will not be content with what one has, and therefore will never be satisfied and always longing for more. If one has a new car, all too quickly one will be longing for a new car. When whatever one buys, one will soon want to replace it with something better. One's mind will not be content. Therefore, one's mind will not be at ease. One will never be satisfied. Rather, one will remain dissatisfied. Being dissatisfied, not being content, one's mind will be caught up in worldly activities, always thinking about what one desires, what more one needs. And such a way of thinking is very far from a mind that is focused on developing spiritually. So therefore, it's of great importance for someone who's sincere about spiritual development to be content, to have modest desires, be easily satisfied. This advice is specifically for those who are serious about developing spiritually. They need to develop a content outlook, being satisfied with what they have, with what they have as being sufficient. Because this gives one freedom of mind, mind that is not caught up in ever more worldly desires, never being satisfied with what they have, but always needing more. The mind that's not at ease because it's discontent. However, such a spiritual practitioner, though, should not apply the attitude of having modest desires and being easily satisfied towards their spiritual attainments. As they spiritually develop, they shouldn't say, I'm done pretty well, I'm quite good just how I am. Now I can sit back, rest on my laurels. Not at all. They should recognize the greatness of their role models and see how much further development can still come, and to strive ever more, to use their freedom from worldly concern, to strive ever more in the development of spiritual qualities. This advice, though, is certainly still appropriate for those who have to go to work every day and accumulate material resources for themselves and their family. What one needs to guard against is not falling into an extreme and saying, I can live without anything, therefore I can apply myself at all times to spiritual development. One needs favorable circumstances. One needs to have a minimum of suitable circumstances or material goods in order to be able to spiritually develop. However, one must guard one's mind from being dominated by the desire for more. To the extent that one is dominated by the need for ever more, greed will overtake oneself. And a person, to the extent that greed dominates a person, That person will take advantage of others because that person doesn't value others. They will only see others as being as important as they can be of benefit to themselves. If someone can only be of limited benefit to themselves or no benefit at all, that person will not be valued. A person, to the extent that the mind is dominated by greed, they'll struggle to develop close relationships with others because their own self-interest will be so dominant, because they do not have the mental space to spiritually develop. They have no contentment. They'll struggle to have any relationships that are beneficial with others because they are focused on fulfilling their own desires first and foremost. So therefore, developing a content outlook, having modest desires and be easily satisfied, is appropriate advice for all spiritual practitioners, whether one is ordained or whether one has a family.
냠렌제
There's just one thing that you've got from our two talks today, then I hope that it's the great importance that our mind plays, the great importance, that it is greatly important that we all take care of our own minds. We take care of our own minds by guarding against harmful thoughts, take care of our own mind by ensuring that our way of thinking stays virtuous. And the reason that this is so important is just like a car. If we liken a car to our body and speech, the car will only go where the driver directs it. Whether it goes straight, left or right is dependent on the intention of the driver. Likewise, our body and speech goes in the direction that the mind directs it. Whether it's going to be helpful or harmful, virtuous or non-virtuous, depends on the motivating mind. So when we recognize that our behavior and our speech follows from thought, it's then that we'll recognize the great importance of our mind. Whether we are acting in ways that help or harm ourselves, help or harm others, depends on our mind. So here, we need to use analysis, engage in analytical meditation, thinking about certain attitudes or ways of thinking and identifying whether they are wholesome or virtuous or unwholesome or non-virtuous. We can see this in terms of when a particular mind arises. On one hand, it may be a mind of love. On another, it may be a mind of anger. How does it make us feel mentally? What kind of speech follows when influenced by this mind? What kind of physical behavior follows from this mind? What is the impact it has on others? So in this way, through analyzing again and again, we can start to recognize for ourselves, based on our own experience, not just what we've been told, which that minds such as love and compassion are wholesome, minds such as anger and attachment are unwholesome. Recognizing this, seeing the benefits of having wholesome minds manifest, and the faults and the danger that follows from having afflicted minds manifest, we then will be more encouraged to utilize the mental factors of contentment, vigilance, and mindfulness to at all times, certainly in meditation, but also when not in meditation, to take care of our mind, to make sure that the way we're relating to others is with a mind of love, compassion, and wisdom, rather than minds that are of the afflicted side. And moreover, we also looked at today about the importance of recognizing the good qualities in others, rejoicing in the good qualities of others, rejoicing in our own spiritual endeavors, and utilizing this to generate strength of mind within us, to persevere in our spiritual development, to reprioritize what we value, what we see as important. In other words, where we spend our time and our energy. And coupled with this, there was the encouragement today to rather concentrate on the good qualities of others, rather than dwelling on their faults. When we observe faults in others, rather turn our mind to their good qualities, remind ourselves of their good qualities. And in this way, we guard our mind from ruminating about the faults of others. And similarly, don't allow our mind to ruminate on the faults that we have done in the past. Recognize them, commit to changing in the future, and let our past mistakes go. What we're trying to do here is turn our mind in a positive direction. A positive direction that is in accordance with reality, turn our mind in a positive direction and generate strength of mind. This makes it much easier to transform ourselves and thereby to be of ever more benefit to others. And to the extent that we keep our mind wholesome, then our spiritual goals of liberation and enlightenment, these come ever closer. And we'll come to recognize that what may just seem as a theory now is truly possible as we see ourselves spiritually developing over time. So lastly, we also mentioned that Lama Tisha was the author of this text. We can recognize on his tremendous good qualities, and it was his tremendous good qualities that enabled him to write a text such as this based on his own experience, how he lived his life. And he was a living example to all those fortunate enough to be his direct students. And this text is based on advice given to them. Generate the aspiration to develop these self-same good qualities that we've covered briefly thus far, and we'll cover again in more again from tomorrow. So thank you. Thank you very much.